Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. The song in the background is called Love Sings. I think my friends like it. And we're going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff this month. Let me push that button. There you go. So this month on Don't Panic, It's Organic, I'm going to be talking about organic versus, I put in quotation mark, conventional. But I really wanted to say organic versus chemical. I love that word conventional, don't you? Yeah, I go to the store, you know, it's a health food store, right? It's supposed to be healthy things. But they have a conventional produce section and an organic produce section. And I always try to say, well, you know, conventional means just whatever pesticides and fertilizers and whatever else, right, they're using. So I don't understand. And I'm also going to be talking about basically what's happening is I've gotten a whole bunch of requests, you know, questions that I'm going to talk about. So I turn them into little miniature shows. So I'm going to talk about treating sooty mold, right? And then we're also going to talk about whitefly control. And then doing a show on bark beetles and the shot hole borer. And so that's what's going to be going on this month. That's provided you have something else you want to talk about and you call me on the on our phone lines here. And we talk because, you know, I do the show, I schedule what I'm going to do, but really what it's really about is you, right? You calling me and you saying, hey, Andy, I have this problem. Ideally, I mean, you know, in an ideal world, but ideally you would email me and say, I have this question, which I'll call you on. And you would, what would happen is the engineer, if you give me your number, the engineer will call you and you'll be on the air as a guest, right? And we can talk. Or you just call and he will pipe you through. Either way, but it's okay if you just call. You decide you have a question you want to call, and the numbers are 888-627-6008. There's a direct line, which is 323-944-4831. Of course, since we use Skype here. Skype is BBS Radio PR, all lowercase, BBS Radio PR. You can always email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Just spell it right. In the subject, in order for me to pick it out from the email, junk email, you should write, there are a couple of different things I've been telling people, depends upon which show you're listening to. But in this one here, all you have to do is type BBS Radio question or BBS radio. Let's see how what I say last time was BBS radio, right? Just write BBS radio. If you're, you know, if you're with TalkShoe or with some other station that I broadcast through, just type in the name of the station. Eventually, I'll catch them all, because when I get a new one, I'll make a rule that anything from that station goes into a folder. Right now, that's a VIP thing I have on my email, which allows me to channel emails into certain boxes, so I don't have to look for it. You can also enter the contest that way too. All you have to do is send me email, and in the subject line, you write contest. Ideally, you should say radio show contest, but contest is the key word. That way you can say, May contest or June contest. So right now we're in the June contest. So all you have to do is just say June contest, and then in the subject line, if you have a question, you can say, I have a question for you, and I'll be happy to answer it over the air. Otherwise, I should say, enter me in your contest. You also get on my newsletter, which is going to be coming out in a couple of days. I do it now once a month, a newsletter, which tells you what we've done, what we're going to do in the month, and a little bit of what's going on during this month, if anything different happens. Let's see. Yeah. So we have a new contest. First of all, we have a contest winner for May. Her name is Linda from Grass Valley. So she won the Growers Kit and my book. So the Growers Kit is 5 pounds of my special rock dust blend. So, I do in my business, part of my business is providing rock dust or minerals, right? Because it's really a remineralization process. That's one of the things, by the way, that we're going to be talking about. Whether we do it now or whether we do it in the next few months, it's called remineralization. So I'm going to try to have some folks on from the remineralization.org to come on. That would be Joanne Campy. There's a couple other folks that I would like to get on. But anyway, that's part of my business. What I do mainly is like a soil doctor, right? You know what I mean? It's kind of an easy way to put it. And so what I've developed as a business, that's basically what I do. I have customers, I go to their homes, and I treat the soil. So it depends upon the time of year and how long they've been with me, as to what I do throughout the year. Eventually, it gets down to where the goal is to have the soil really healthy and alive, and it will show up in the plants. You don't have to apply fertilizer or anything unless if it's functioning. I don't consider compost fertilizer. So if you make one of the things I tell the customers is that the gardeners have to apply the compost. They have to apply compost and mulch. I'll apply the rock dust. I tell people rock dust, compost, and mulch. And the bigger blend, the better blend of compost, I mean the better, oh yeah, but the better blend of rock dust, that means you will get a better blend, that better BB, better blend. That doesn't sound right, better blend. A more significant blend. What I'm trying to say is you have a range of minerals if you have a blend from different sources of minerals. So if you get rock dust from different parts of the world, so to speak, they will be different sources of minerals. In some places, for example, azomite comes from Colorado, and it's really, really rich in a variety of metals, trace metals, right? There's a agri-min comes from Southern California. It's a different source of rock dust. It's alluvium clay. And here in Southern California, they have these hot clay baths, right? Hot clay baths. But basically, so what it is that it's alluvium clay that's been superheated by the volcano, the lava under the earth, right? So this stuff has been like basically clay that's been melted and turned into a goo. And the clay itself is a very, very fine particle. Once you dry the clay and you have it in a powdered form, it's actually 30% calcium, along with other sources of minerals. There's also, I myself get, oh no, hi Kimberly.
Hi. If you don't want me to call anymore,
I knew it was you.
Thank you.
Okay, what's happening?
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. I have a few questions, Andy.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is, I have a tomato plant, and it's in like a self-watering container, planter. And it dawned on me that since it's in an enclosed area, it's not going to get any pollinization. Are those self-pollinizing or whatever the word
is? It doesn't need to be pollinated. No, right. They'll just do their thing.
Oh, good. Okay. And then I have in one container, I have three. And the one in the middle it has one tomato and one little one coming. But the other two, they're growing up, but they're not growing any tomatoes. So I was wondering, it's been about a month or so that I've had them.
Probably what's going on is that the little one in the middle has been feeling overwhelmed by the other two on the side and decided, well, I want to get out of here sooner. So it went to fruit right away and it has a tomato. The other two are growing bigger and bigger. Because they're getting, they feel good, and they're going to get really big plants, and then they're going to start putting out lots of tomatoes.
Okay.
What?
Is that for real? Yeah,
that's what's happening. Is that the plant, something happened when it was in its youth. Maybe, you know, when you planted it, it got damaged a little bit. Or did you buy it as a plant or a seed?
I bought it. It's organic, though. There were three of them organic. And
well, you bought
it
a little plant. Right. So maybe in the transplanting of it, it got damaged a little bit or it got shocked. Or maybe it's just that the other two just outcrowded it out, took all the food from it, right? Just took the food from it and it got bigger and bigger and bullied that little one. And that little one's going, okay. And so that's what they do. They put out the flower right away and it may not do too well, or what I would do is feed everybody really well and make sure everybody's getting enough food to go around.
That's what I wanted to ask you. How much super seaweed? Because I'm starting to give them all super seaweed. How much?
Well, remember, super seaweed is not a fertilizer.
I know.
Okay, so it's like vitamin pill. So if you take a lot of vitamin pill, you know, if the doctor says, you know, you go to the store, you buy multiple vitamins, it says take four vitamin pills. What do you think will happen if you eat all the whole bottle? You're not going to die from it, but you might be a little sick, a little weird, right? Because your body says, I don't need all that. I only needed four pills, right? So it's the same thing with the super seaweed. It's trace minerals. And it's something you give it to on a regular basis. But what it does is that it helps the plant to absorb the food that you're going to be giving them from the good organic fertilizer and stuff. And tomatoes are heavy eaters. They really eat a lot. They like to be fed on a regular basis, and they would just get really, really big. In the chemical world, the conventional world, what happens is they have a high nitrogen fertilizer, so it's really easy to do. So what happens is your tomato plant gets to be really big and green, but no flowers. That means you gave it too much nitrogen. Eventually, you'll get caught up with it. You see what I'm saying? But you have my rock dust mixture. Both of those super seaweed and the rock dust are not a fertilizer.
Right.
And you bought some already, right? You bought the Dr. Earth? Okay, it says for tomatoes, right? Okay, so then just are you feeding them well then?
Not really. Here's the thing.
What?
Yes and no. Here's the thing. When I set up the planter, the instructions said to put a whole row of the fertilizer in there. So I already put that in there, and then I covered it. You know,
you mean the fertilizer that came with the package?
No. Mine.
Oh,
the one
stuff
I bought.
Dr. Earth. Okay, yeah. So it's a unit that you put the stuff in, and it's supposed to feed itself.
Right. And as you put the water in, the water, it goes
okay.
through that.
Okay, yeah, so again, if that little plant's stressed out, then the root systems won't be working as well. But that should help it. But what I would do is foliar feed them.
Okay, yes.
So have you been doing that? Have you
no,
been doing
I
that?
No, and this is no, but I did. I remember what you were saying about buying.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a real estate investor.
Real estate investor. I was
yes.
just wondering because you know you seem to want to grow stuff, but you don't really know much about growing
nothing.
Stuff.
I know nothing. That's right. I'm trying to learn. Yeah.
Sorry, I
but,
just. I run into people all the time that all they do is they buy stuff in the store, they bring it home, they plant it, and it dies. And then they go buy stuff
right.
in the store. But it's not their fault, and it's not your fault either. So look, just foliar
no.
feed it, okay? You know what that is, right?
Yes, I do, but this is my question to you. My question is, the other day I realized you said, you know, you can get them milk and coffee and molasses all at the same time. And I was like, yeah, but there's different ratios for each, and I don't know how much to put. And, you know,
different
like
ratios of coffee, cream, and sugar? Right.
Well, no. Like, well, different ratios for sizes. Like, I know I just did the other day, eight ounces of the cold brew coffee to like three gallons of water. And so then I get a lot of that.
Okay.
And I don't
okay.
have
so look, it's real easy. Do you drink coffee?
No, but I did buy the cold brew coffee.
Cold brew coffee. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is you follow instructions for like with the cold. It depends on why you're using the coffee for. You know, if you're going to be killing a bug, you want to use it stronger. If you're using it as a way to help the plant absorb food, you don't need as much, right?
Right.
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 And so in the cold brew setup, because it is concentrated coffee, it doesn't have to be concentrated when you're feeding the plant. You just want to have, you know, like as if you were drinking a normal concentration as if you're drinking. So you can almost follow instructions. If it says add one cup to whatever water to drinking, that's the amount that you make for the normal mixture. But you know, you can just take it doesn't really matter the actual amount. You get to learn, take a little bit of the cold brew and add it in more and a certain amount of water. It doesn't make actual much difference other than the fact that, you know, the stronger you make it, the stronger it is for killing bugs and stuff. And there's a certain amount that you can overdo, but it won't really hurt it. If you know, like for example, if you take a cup of the cold brew and put it in a gallon of water, you're probably just fine. So it's a very nice mixture right there. But if you were to put that in a quart of water, it'd be stronger, but it still wouldn't hurt the plant and it still wouldn't be bad.
Okay.
You're just trying to figure out how much to give it. That's just the right amount. Too much, you're wasting it, but even though it doesn't hurt it. Like with the milk, okay, so that milk is a little different. You had, even if you was to give a straight milk, because I've done that before, I poured it straight in the sprayer and sprayed milk, right? Okay, so that works.
In the sprayer, okay, uh-huh.
Right, and the plants like that, and it's very useful, but I also learned that one cup of milk in a gallon of water does the same thing, see?
Oh.
Right? So why spray the whole... Why use so much milk when you can just add one cup into a gallon of water and there's your, and you have the same, the calcium, because you know, you can only eat so much, right? So if you give it straight milk, the plant will absorb the calcium. The rest of it is all going to be going to the soil or somewhere else, right?
Right. Right.
So the amounts are something you learn, like cooking, right? You get to learn.
Yeah.
So you want to go as low as you can and still have it work. Though you're not going to kill the plant if you give it too much coffee. The sugar is another thing. You know, If you give it too much of that, then it becomes real sweet and you have a million ants all of a sudden because it doesn't get dissolved, right? Right?
Right. So, I didn't know how much molasses to use. Like, how much molasses should I use?
Okay, well, the molasses is going to, what you want to think about is that, okay, what does the molasses do? So you're going to put the molasses in a liquid that has other creatures in it. You basically are feeding the little creatures in the liquid. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you have coffee, cream, and sugar in the cream, you know how cream goes bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's because it has its own little bacteria in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. So if you're using the coffee, cream, and sugar, the sugar is really feeding the bacteria in the cream. The bacteria in the cream is going to eat the coffee, right? It's going to eat the coffee and the sugar because the coffee is an acidic liquid, which is perfect for certain types of microbes to grow in. And that's what you want. You want more types of microbes because that's what you're doing. You're spraying all these little people back onto the plant and onto the soil. See, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what super seaweed is. When you're using super seaweed, you have, if you was to take a drop of it and put it under a microscope, and especially if you was to bubble air through it, take a little, I used to tell people one drop per gallon. So if you take one drop in a gallon, then put that a bubbler through it. You know how you take a little bubbler, run through mm-hmm. it, and look it under a microscope, you'll see all these wiggly little things moving around. Those are the microbes that you want to mm-hmm. normally found in the soil. So you don't have to worry about the strength. So you have to, except for, you know, like I said, the sugar, too much of that is bad. If you're using soap and other things, but in terms of using the coffee, like, you know, so I would definitely feed the plant more through the leaves. And treat them both the same, you know, but you should also have a liquid, you know, you should have either take the, if you're using the Dr. Earth's fertilizer, right? Are you making mm-hmm. a tea from it by making a tea bag out of it? Oh, you are. Great.
Yep.
Well, that's all you have to do is you make it, put it tie it up in a little ball, let it soak in water, and then spray that along with the super seaweed and cream and sugar if you want to. But just that alone will help the plant. And then relax. Make sure it's in a good environment. Make sure it gets plenty of light, not too much water, that it's mm-hmm. draining. I don't really trust those little automatic units. Does it water too, or you have to, as it has a pump, to turn it on?
I add the water, but I check it every day. See, because where I am is so hot, I'm giving it water very often. I'm not going by their directions. I'm just giving it order as it
uh-huh.
needs it.
Uh-huh, right, because it's hot mm-hmm. where you're at.
Oh yeah, but see, what I wanted to ask you, Andy, is when you said give it coffee, the milk and sugar. When you say sugar, you mean real sugar, or do you mean molasses?
Yes, sure. Or so sugar, and that's a good question because you can get. See, what I've done over the years, I've gotten into molasses.
Okay.
So I used to, and I always started with molasses because molasses, I especially like Granny Smith's molasses because it's rich in iron and it's, you know, rich in all the minerals, it's organic and all that stuff. Honey is good. It's okay, except that, you know, I get organic honey and that's fine. That's useful too. There's corn syrup, but nowadays, you know, the corn, unless it's organic, the corn mm-hmm. syrup is really bad, right? Because it's genetic modified corn stuff, mm-hmm. right? And the white sugar is really nothing much there, really, in terms of, you know, it's not very nutritional either. So the source of sugar, what you're trying to do is if you get a really good organic source of sugar, right? And that should have mm-hmm. minerals, it should have a whole bunch of stuff. And that's one of the reasons why the sugar works, because it should have all, you know, be rich in minerals and stuff. And so that makes a difference there. That's why I use the molasses, because it's really usually very rich in a lot of minerals. And that's the best source I've found. But so you can't just go to the store and buy junk sugar and expect to get anything much out of it, right? And you may even be bad because it's the sugar, junk sugar's got pesticides and other stuff in it.
Right, that's true. So how much do how much molasses should I be using? Like, what's the ratio?
Okay, so a good rule of thumb in that area is to provide a small amount on a regular basis, because it's you remember you're feeding the little guys and you don't have a really big tank and all that stuff, you know. So in a gallon of water, if you have a tablespoon, that's probably about right. See,
okay,
a tablespoon
to a gallon.
Mm-hmm. A tablespoon to a gallon. Okay. And the water is important, too, because if you're using the city water, well, it ain't going to do much. nothing to survive in that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right. I leave it out overnight, or I'll gather rainwater, or I'll use distilled water.
Okay. Well, so you know that you can buy a garden filter.
Yes, I haven't gotten around to looking at that. I need to look that
filter
up.
Filter it out.
Do you have and a favorite? Do you have a favorite?
Well, there's a but I guess I could say it's called Garden Grow.
Garden Grow. Okay, I'll
Garden
look for that
Grow, G-R-O, right. But there's a couple other ones. One that I've been using lately, which I like, but I've forgotten the name of it. I'm sorry. But they're, you know, and it's real easy, you know, to, and then they last you for years and years and years. And what I did was I went to the hardware store and I bought a shower filter. And I told them I want to hook it up to my hose. So you made a little unit where you screw it into your hose and you pulled it into the bib and you turn on the water that filters it, filtered it out right there. That's
an easy,
simple thing to do. But the garden filter is meant for that, and it'll last you like all your lifetime. It has you can change the filter too, you know. But then when you make your sprays, you at least have clean water. And if you don't do the filter, when you leave it overnight, ideally what you do is you stir it up.
Okay.
So in the biodynamic system, when you're making these liquid potions, you have to stir it up to energize it.
Oh, okay, it makes sense.
Stir it up. And normally in the old days, what you do is we would get everybody would get naked and do it at night, stirring the liquid.
dance around
on the lights. You know, it was a good old days. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. but if you stir it, so if you're going to get the city water, you put it into a bucket, a 5-gallon container is fine. You stir it up. And then you have to, I would say every hour or so, stir it up. Mainly what happens is it releases the chemicals into the air. See?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So,
and rainwater is the best, and it's expensive to keep buying filtered water. You just buy a garden filter. I think it's like $20, you know, and it'll last you a long time.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question. So when I'm making my potions, because I was inspired by you and I looked online to figure out how to hook up that fish tank, the air pump.
Uh-huh.
So I found a company that sells this little air diffuser that'll bubble the water for you.
Uh-huh.
And it was like maybe $12 or something. And I have it on order now, so.
Okay.
Yeah, and it bubbles the water to give it, you know, energy and oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so my question is, once I get that hook up and I put the bag of the stuff in there and put the water in there, how long should I let it? Do I do it overnight, or do I do it if I have the bubbler?
Okay.
Do I do it just for a few hours?
No. So you do it overnight at most. Okay. And it really, the length of time really depends upon what it is you're doing. So If I had like lots of roses and the roses were getting, because I do this for a business, right? So when I would, if I go to a customer and I say, well, gee, you got a lot of roses and I want to spray something to control the disease, then I would make that bubbler for overnight and a good part of the next day. I would watch it, because what I was doing is, you know, when you run air through it, the creatures are eating it. And what happens is there are different stages. You know what happens if you leave the compost tea running too long? It stinks, right?
Stinks, yeah.
Right. So what that means is that there are different people in the water now causing a distinct than the people over there before, which didn't cause a distinct, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that means that throughout the life of the compost tea, there are different beings, you might call them, that they live in that water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the trick is you want to get them when they're at a certain, you want to get a certain variety of them to spray onto the plant, onto the disease. See?
Mm-hmm.
So it usually overnights more than enough. But also, too, you can do it for an hour. Bubble it through an hour for an hour or two and then pour it into your sprayer and go do it, because you're not really, remember, every hour you're doing, you're creating millions and millions of microbes, okay?
Oh,
and there's
okay.
only so gotcha. Many of them you can put in that container before they overtake each other over, and then you have this creature, and the next thing you know, this thing comes out and grabs you. Hello, I'm getting out of here. You know, it's like, holy cow, right?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry.
Yeah, you defeat the purpose, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how, okay. I have, so basically.
I know you have a question. That's really good. I like this. I like questions.
Okay. My other question is, at one point you had mentioned that you could use that tea ball over and over again. So my question is, how do you, once you take it out of the water, how do you let it dry out in the air?
Yeah, right. So. The thing is that, you know, it doesn't really all dissolve all that really fast. It depends. So there are different ways you can look at that. So I've gone through the gambit of myself. So one of the things you do is, okay, so you use it twice, right? You say, okay, I'm only going to make twice out of it, and then I'm going to take that, and I'm not going to throw it away. You can either bury it under a plant. That little ball is really mm-hmm. cool. Bury it under a plant, provides food, or you can open it up and put it back under the soil under a plant. You know, reuse it again. I like taking that little ball. I like taking that little ball and putting it under specific plants, like under a rose or under a little fruit tree, because it gives it food. And I actually made them bigger specifically. I call them tree vents, where you can put them in the ground and make sure you get do you have my book, right?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Uh-huh. And do you know, did you read the section about trees and tree vents?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
I went to my problem areas. Like,
so,
so
that stuff that you make, you can basically, like you say, you have tomatoes, right? They will love it buried under their root system under there. See what I mean?
Oh, cool.
Because mm-hmm. it will provide nutrient for them for a long time, right? As that stuff falls apart. So it's always used. You can always use it, but be surprised how. So there's a limit to how many times you can make it, but you'd be surprised as to how much you can. Same thing with the rock dust, you know, you'd be surprised how many times you can make it, because it doesn't all disappear right away.
Right. So are you saying to use it in, I could take this stuff out and bury it. I don't need to keep it in the mall, right?
No, right. You can take it out and bury it. You know, if you leave it in the ball, just bury it with the ball and all, you know, just if you don't have to have that little piece of cloth or whatever the sock was that you tie with, you know. I used to take my wife's sock, and she said, "Why? Fine, you take one, you get this one too." You know, so I always end up with two socks. Actually, I would steal her pantyhose. She says, "You know, I don't know what's going
that's
on. My
use.
Pantyhose are disappearing again."
Yeah, that's what I've been using, the knee highs.
Yeah, and they work really, really great.
They do.
But I found a 99-cent store you can buy them, you know, pantyhose. So basically, I wouldn't worry about when they after I use them two or three times, and I just bury it under something, and then they last a long time, and the plants really like, especially like the tomato plants and something like that. They will love a nice mixture, because that's what you would do before you plant that tomato, like you did in that container. You made that little something underneath the soil, right?
Yeah.
Exactly right. Well, it's kind of the same thing with the little ball in the pantyhose and the ball. You bury it. It has a source of food that the roots will get down into it. And next thing you know, the plant's like 10 times bigger. And you go, "My God, what's wrong with it? Look, it's grabbing my leg. Help me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. So I have another question. I think I mentioned this before, but I want to get out of the habit of overwatering the plants, because I'm always
That's good for you. Good for you, because that's the number one problem that causes problems. The number one thing that causes problems is people overwater.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And so here, a good rule of thumb is you want to let things dry in between watering.
Okay.
So if you're going to water something, because usually it's not the plants that has a problem with the water, it's you, right? Same thing with the chemicals or whatever. It's not the plants, it's you. So yeah, I got to water. I go to this one place, and when it got in Malibu, the gardeners, you know, it got hot. And so I go there, and the guy says, it's getting hot. We have to water more. It's getting hot. We have to water more. And it causes problems. It causes a lot of problems, and it destroys the soil. And, you know, the chemicals that are in the city water, it's not beneficial for the soil to top it off, you know. And then we have toxins all the time. So it's what were we talking about?
We were talking
about water. Who are you? Why do you keep calling me? What?
No, what I'm saying is, like, for instance, this new tomato plant that I have, I've only had it for like maybe 6 days or so. And if it rains or if I water it and I realize now that I overwater it, it'll still be water at the bottom. And I think it should never be sitting in water, right?
Yeah, right. So imagine if your socks were always wet, or if you stood around in water, you won't like
it.
Get
a fungus. Yeah.
And that's one reason why I'm not too crazy about these containers. If I can never tell what's really going on down in there, you know, does it sit on a tray that you water from underneath? Is that it?
No.
You water from the top.
I water from the top, and then I bought a tray, a clear tray that I could see the water.
So you can tell how much water it has in the unit?
Yeah.
I bet you're growing pot, aren't you? You're growing marijuana, aren't you? You're telling me you're growing tomatoes. No, I figured it out.
No, really. I've never even had marijuana. Seriously, I've never...
did a couple of years ago. They said my tomato plants are not doing really well. It's important they have these little devices you can buy that you stick it in. It's basically a water meter, you know, tells you if it's dry or wet. You know, I think it's like, well, again, it's $20, I think, something. You can get it on Amazon or lots of places, and someone will tell you the pH, but you want the one that says wet, dry, you know, and you stick it in, and it'll tell you if it's wet. You go, well, I'm not going to water it, right? Don't water if it's wet. And you let it dry, and ideally you want to let it dry for a few days. I tell people, look, don't water more than Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Saturday, Sunday doesn't get any water. And then, you know, the other days, so it'd be 3 days watering, 4 days not watering. And that's even pushing it, because I have trained a lot of my customers' places, only they water twice a week.
Wait a second. I've been giving these plants water every day.
No, you can't.
It's been like super, super hot.
What does that mean, super, super hot?
Like in the 90s.
Right, so they're in a hot place where the sun comes in and gets really hot, and they dry out really fast.
Full sun,
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right. So that's a kind of sounds like a very harsh environment to be in.
It's Florida. You remember Florida? Hello.
I remember Florida, but I don't remember it being 90, 100 degrees. That's, you know, I understand what's going on now. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's like in the high 80s, but it feels like 90 something.
I understand. So that means that you're just going to have to. That's not normal conditions where your water is dry the next minute. You know, that just means you're going to have to provide water, because it could damage it if it stays dry for too long. You know that, right? So means it doesn't have to. Doesn't have to be dry for 2 days. If it can't handle being dry a day, it gets burned up. It's too hot. So you want to set up a way to give it just enough water, not so much, maybe let it dry out a little bit, because if it sits in water for too long, it's bad. But if it stays without water too long, it's bad, right? That's why watering is so hard for people, because they can't figure it out. How much is enough? When is, right? So basically go by the rule of thumb saying, okay, if I water too much, it's going to look really bad. And if I don't water enough, it's going to look even worse. But the difference is one's going to start looking really dry and the other is going to be very wet and moldy and yucky looking and melting all like. So I would just be really light on the watering in the sense that get in the habit of watering at the same time every day, and you only give it a certain amount of water, right? So this is a big, like a 5-gallon container kind of thing.
One is I don't know how many gallons it is, but it has the great thing about the self-watering plant is that it's set up so that when it has enough water, it'll leak from the sides. And I just wash the sides to make sure I'm not.
All right, so you have it's a container where you put the water in and then it slowly waters the stuff. Okay, cool.
That's one.
Great. Does it have a timer? Does it have any way you can adjust how much to water? Is it what's automatic about it?
Well, here's the thing. That one I have no problem with. That's the one that has the 3 tomatoes in. But I bought another tomato plant that has tomatoes already growing on it. So I was like, I want to harvest tomatoes soon. So I bought a plant that already had tomatoes in it. That is the one that I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm overwatering it. So I have them put
Is it sitting in a tray?
It's in a regular one. Yeah, it's a regular one. I bought a little clear tray.
Great. So it's sitting in a tray, right? So the way to water is you water from the tray, make it suck up the water.
Okay. Should I put pebbles in the tray at the bottom and then so that it doesn't? It's never sitting really in the water. Or no?
No. It's just you want it to sit in the water so it can suck up the moisture, and you fill the tray up, the base is sitting up with your water, and then you watch it and see what happens because it'll suck up all the water, and you see how sometimes you may have to do that every day if it's really really dry. But if it's got water in it, then you don't add any more water to it. That's the easy one, right? If it's got water in the tray, you go, well, I'm not going to add more water to it, right?
Okay.
And let the water disappear. So if it takes a couple of days, then fine. If it takes a day, then ideally when the water, you have to watch it. When you notice the water disappear, you want to let's say, okay, I'm going to give it a little time to dry out, just a little bit, not too long. I'm going to watch it, maybe half a day. Maybe you can go for another day without watering. It really depends, right? But you want to give it some time so that the root systems are like, okay, I'm ready for more, right? I'm looking for where's the water? And then you give it the water, it sucks it right up. So you've got to reach that level. If it sits in water too much, the roots are going to go. Right. Did you like that? That was my.
It sounded like you're underwater.
That was my drowning microbe.
Exactly. Well,
okay.
You remember you mentioned crushed garlic. So I got some crushed garlic. Then I realized I don't know how to use it.
Okay. So. There's several different ways to use the crushed garlic. Okay, they also have chopped garlic. And that's so if you're planning on burying the garlic, the chopped garlic works really well because it's just chopped up. You take a little bit of it, put it into like your pantyhose. You can bury it under a plant. Like the tomato plant's a perfect one to bury chopped garlic because it'll get absorbed by the tomato. And the worst that will happen is your tomato will have a garlic taste to it.
That's
but the bugs and diseases and the caterpillars won't like it. See, right?
Good. Okay. Yeah.
And so that's the worst that'll happen. But you can also spray it too. So if you're going to spray it, that's where you get the crushed garlic because you want to get the juice. Put that in the pantyhose. You tie it up into a nice ball. Let it sit in the. You can even let it sit in the coffee, even though I wouldn't do that because it's a strange smell. Remember I told you coffee and garlic? No. Don't. So just put it in water, and don't even mix it with the milk either. It's just the garlic by itself,
crush it
make the liquid out of it in like 5 gallons, and spray the plant. And then you can do that a couple of times with that garlic, because that'll last a while too. You can always take that little. What I used to do is take it and tie it up to next to a rose, or tie it on the fence, I've had deer, other creatures, rabbits. It'll keep them away because the garlic will stink for a while. See?
Hold on. It's going. It sounds. You're not sounding clear.
I'm not sounding
Hello?
Clear.
No, it's breaking up.
But, I'm breaking up.
Yeah. How much garlic? How much garlic should I put in a bag in a little stocking?
The 99-cent store, they sell these ounces of garlic. So an ounce of crushed garlic is more than enough.
Hold on. I can't hear anything.
An ounce of crushed garlic?
Okay, I can hear you now. Mm-hmm. An ounce? Okay.
An ounce of crushed garlic is more than enough.
Okay, so 1 ounce to how many gallons?
Oh, 1 gallon is fine, man.
1 gallon.
But, you know, hey, if you put it in the 5 gallon thing, it won't hurt it at all. You can make more of it, see, right?
Okay, yeah.
So the strength will, so if you say you can make 5 gallons or a gallon of it, right? So if you say, well, I have a caliper or some bug, I really want to knock it out, or snails or flies, mosquitoes, use the gallon. If you want to try to use it as a preventative kind of thing or for diseases, make it 5 gallons, you see. You can spray that. The strength is up to you. The stronger, you can make it stronger if it's going to get rid of a bug. You could use it on a regular basis just to control diseases and pests, but you don't have to use a massive amounts of it, like for mosquitoes and stuff like that, right?
That's what I wanted to do because there's no pests on my tomatoes, so I was going to do a preventative with the garlic.
Right, that'll be perfect. If you love garlic, then your tomatoes will taste like garlic and nothing else will attack it.
Right. Okay,
perfect. Right? And try growing put a bulb, a garlic bulb under there. That's one of the best and easiest things. Right. Great.
I did that for the jasmine. I put 3 or 4 garlic bulbs.
Okay, well here's the thing about the jasmine. So you know that the jasmine is going to end up having a garlic smell to it. You know that, right?
No, are you serious?
Well, yeah. If you plant garlic under your jasmine, their jasmine plant will start to have that little bit of a garlic jasmine. And after a while, you go, that's an interesting smell, because you'll smell the garlic in it. It may take a while, but that's exactly what the garlic does. Did I tell you to plant garlic under your jasmine?
I thought you said that, to get rid of the ants. You said nothing like garlic.
Spray it. Well, maybe maybe now that I think of it, I'm going, you know what? Because if you do that long enough, you may want to do it just to get rid of the bug, but then I have a feeling the bug will come around anyway. Right, yeah. You know, it will change. It will make it smell. You'll smell the garlic. You go, where's the garlic?
No, I don't want that. I better take it out then.
So your best bet is to spray it with the coffee.
Spray it. Okay.
Spray the cold brew. The same thing with roses. If you like roses and the way they smell, I wouldn't plant garlic because it'll work, but then you won't smell the roses.
Yeah.
If you put garlic under a citrus, or garlic under an apple tree, guess what? They're gonna taste. It's
like
delicious.
Garlic,
have you ever tasted garlic apples?
No.
It's amazing.
No.
Garlic apricots. You have an apricot tree. You plant a whole bunch of garlic bulbs. Your apricot's gonna be garlicky. And citrus. You plant. Almost any fruit trees. Apples. Papayas, anything, the garlic will come through.
Okay. If you have time, I have 2 more questions.
Okay, you sure? Because I know you got a lot more than that. That's great.
You
should send me a picture of your tomato plant.
Okay, I will. You want to make sure it's not marijuana? I will. And here's another question. The question is, some time ago, you said that you use the Miracle-Gro, that sprayer.
Yeah, it's called the Miracle-Gro No Clog Sprayer.
No Clog Sprayer. Okay, because I was wondering which one, because I was at the store and they had two or three different ones. So I'll look for the No Clog Sprayer.
Yeah, it's a No Clog Sprayer. What you do is you tell the person, you can have the Miracle Grow. I just want the no clog sprayer.
Exactly.
And actually, it's a very good no clog sprayer. It lives up to its name. I could put milk in there. I could put my organic mixtures, my compost tea in there. It doesn't get clogged up. Because you go to the store, you buy other sprayers, you know, because you want to have mixtures.
They
you want to be able to spray
up,
your stuff. Right. They get clogged up right away. The no clog sprayer, when last time I bought it, I went in there and said, I would like two of the no clog sprayers, please. And I said, I have a problem. I said, what do I do with the Miracle-Gro? I don't want it.
Exactly, because I'm not using this stuff. Yeah.
Right. So I gave it to the guy. I said, hey, it's yours. I don't want it. Could you throw it away then? And he said, fine, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But they'll last you a long time. You hook up to your hose and you can make your, put your tea in there. All different kinds of teas will work just fine. It won't clog it up at all. So you can do the garlics. That's what I would do is make a smaller version of your of the pantyhose ball tea bag. Mm-hmm. Make a smaller version, one that fits in the no clog sprayer, and then when the water goes through, the garlic will or whatever you put in there, right, will it will go out. See, right?
I could do that for fertilizer too, or no?
That's right.
Not really.
But, no, that's right. The only difference is that the long sometimes the fertilizer has to have enough time to dissolve. So it depends on the type of fertilizer. So if you're using that, so ideally what you would do there if you're going to use that fertilizer is you make a batch of it already. You let it sit in water, nice and concentrated. You take that and you pour that into the no-clog sprayer and then spray that, you know, open it up to a full blast, what it will say, you know, the full concentration. Spray it and do it again. That'll get the food right out. Really nice.
Yeah. Hey? So in that case, I would make it really, really, really strong. To do it that
way. Well, it's still getting diluted. The water goes through the low clog sprayer and takes it out, so it's getting diluted.
Exactly.
So, and it's a really easy way to, and it's great for seaweed. Like my super seaweed is perfect for the no clog sprayer. If you pour it straight, then you have to use it at the lowest setting, or you can just make a pre-batch of it yourself. Make a batch and then pour it in there, and then spray that at the full setting. See, that's perfect way to get that. And you'll find that lots of stuff you could use. With that no clog sprayer.
Got it. And
you
then
got one more question.
Last question. I had all these red ants get into a bed, right in the. I have a Robolini palm in that place, and then I just have it mulched, and all these like three different, you know, mounds of red ants. Got in there, and so I pour hot water on them, and I also pour like a citrus sprayer.
Well, we have to go over. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to call me back next week, and let's go over the ant sink. We have to go over the ant sink with you because, you know, it may seem like an easy thing to pour hot water into the soil, but what you're doing is you're killing the soil. And so the soil, the ants are telling you, look what we're doing. We're taking over. And if anything takes, it tells you basically that the soil is not there. The people that live there, that normally control everything, because the soil, the microbes in the soil control the ants, see? But the ants are like any other creature. They take advantage of it. If the good guys are gone, then they're going to control it and run it. So that's a problem with the soil.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a problem with the soil that you have to work on. And so it's not that hard for you to do. And there are other things you can do too. That's why the in the book that you have, there's a chapter called Dances with Ants. You should read through that,
I'm going to read it. Okay, yeah.
And then, then we can go over the ants thing that you're doing. There are lots of things you can do that basically you want to tell the ants, look, I'm sorry. I'm reclaiming the soil. I'm going to help the soil. So I'm going to want you guys to move away, go over there.
Right.
Don't disappear. I want you to be a part of it. You know, tell them you want to work together. Let's work something out here, right? Right?
Yeah, they were taking over, though. I was like, you know, walking past there.
They will take over because they're red ants. They will bite you.
Yes,
and you're smarter than they are, but you have to work out a relationship. And there are lots of that's why I call it dances with ants. It's not like I don't call it let's kill all ants, right?
Yeah,
it's
called
dances with ants for a reason. You want to get their attention. You want to understand. You want to learn their language, and they learn your language. Once you understand that, then the ants will stay over there and leave you alone. But there are certain things you have to do to let them know that. Simple. And they have to, once you get their attention, then you can work something out. But if you don't understand that you can actually communicate with them, then they're going to just run right over you. You're going to kill everything and there'll still be ants, right? You're still going to have ants.
It's true. Right? Yeah. Well, one needed to get the shit out of me. So I was like, okay, this, I got to stop this for a minute.
But at least you're on the right, you're on the right path.
I'm trying.
So,
I'm trying. Yeah.
There are some things you could do for that will help to control the ants in long terms and short terms. And that's a whole show by itself. You feel free to call me next week and we can do a Dances
Thank
with
you.
Ants day. Okay.
And I did leave a message on the forum because I'm a member. I'm a lifetime member.
Oh, yeah, I know you are.
Okay.
Oh, good.
All right.
Oh, good. I'm working on the forum. I'm working on, everything's all renewed. I did a whole brand new website, so I'll go take a look.
Okay.
I should get something. The forum should send me an email saying you have a, because I like to use the forum.
New message.
Your picture's there.
Yeah.
You can ask questions. But this is the easiest way to deal with it on one level.
Yeah, It is. Yeah. Okay. Have a great week. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. So that's that was Kimberly. She, I think, she's one of the winners. Either she paid for a membership, or she was one of the winners, or got the book, or I'm not sure. I think she came for the soil, Kiss the Soil folks, maybe. You know, because remember I had the, I forget his name now. He's gonna be mad at me with the Kiss the Soil organization. And I'm going to be having lots more guests coming up. There's lots going on over here. I was just Wednesday got a new set of teeth in, not quite permanent, but it's almost there. Another year for the bomb teeth. It's making me very spacey, not to mention all kinds of stuff going on at home. And been busier than a fox in a chicken coop, which is not really a nice way. Coming up is my cosmic spaceship show. Oh, look at that. this is where you get to hear my latest and greatest songs. This one over here is it's called Love Sings. And so we'll get to play that all the way through, and you get to hear some of the new song that I've written. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I'm going to be expanding it. You'll find out in some interesting ways. So come back next week. Maybe looks like we're going to be doing a Dances with Ants week again. I find we have to do that a lot more often than usual because the ants are telling us there's something going on with the soil. We need to pay attention to that. Otherwise, they're going to they have to do their thing, right? They have to take it over, take it back, and fix it. That's what they're going to do, right? The show should be up pretty soon. So next week we're going to probably do Dances with Ants. And I have a whole series of Dances with Ants show up on the website, up on YouTube. And so you can read up on it. Plus I have a book called Dances with Ants. The book Dances with Ants is inside my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. I gave it a free
Whenever I come to Earth, I listen to bbsradio.com.